He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Good to be here. Good to be live on this September 4th Thursday afternoon, right before, a couple hours before the NFL season kicks off right here on 1430 ESPN. Cowboys and Eagles coming up in less than 2 hours right here on the Central Valley's sports leader. We'll bring it to you, including, I'm sure, some featuring of our favorite player from the Fresno State area, Daron Bland, getting paid and playing tonight on the national stage. We'll be bringing that to you right here in about a couple of hours. We are live. It is 3:02, and we got plenty to get into with today's show. But first, before we dive into it, big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D with the Sportsline Bulldog Hour from 2 to 3 p.m. on the airwaves every weekday. You can listen to him and his conversations about the Bulldogs and everything Fresno State. Of course, Tony D's show live and on demand on the 1430 ESPN app, 1430ESPNFresno.com website, streaming as well. If you missed it, you can go on demand in the tab and go find his show and check out all of our shows, including his show, including my show, Behind the Bench with Phil Bonatti, from 3 to 6 p.m. normally on the weekdays as well. And also check out Paul Metter's show, the Central Valley Sports Report, with Paul Metter's live from First Ring Sports on 1430 ESPN on those Saturdays. What do we got on for the docket? Let's get to our sponsors. Of course, we are here live at Fashion Furniture. And of course, when you think of Fashion Furniture, you think of experience. How about 65 years of celebration here at Fashion Furniture, where you're going to find the best names like Flex Steel, Bassett, Michael Nicholas, Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and more. How about savings of up to 40% on select items, including 0% financing? Plus, with every sale, Fashion Furniture is going to make a donation to the Honor Flight, specifically from that sale that they make. Help send a veteran to Washington, D.C., and help them celebrate 65 years. And also, if you've been married 25, 35, 45, 55, or even 65 years, they'll include a special gift for you with your purchase. Only in Fashion Furniture, nothing like it here in California. We also have our hotline, our phone line, Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, sponsoring our hotline, 559-320-1430, the way to reach us, 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Lee's Air has the weather check today, and we're sitting at 99 degrees, once again, right on the cusp of that triple-digit number. We're not going to quite get there, though, I don't believe. I have faith. And then we will drop into the 90s, low 90s by the weekend. And how about some 80s on the horizon after that? 80s as far as that I can see in terms of the Central Valley. We will take it. We've been waiting for it for quite some time. So can't wait to have those temperatures back in our lives. And I'm sure everybody is thrilled about that. So that's what we got on the weather check. And we got a great show for you today, going over a lot of stuff today, a lot of things. It's a big setup show. We got a lot to talk about. High school football, some teams in action tonight on a Thursday night. We'll go over the slate just momentarily. Of course, we'll go over some of the big games tomorrow as well. Get you really set for the high school start of the football week here. Well, we're in week three already. Week three of high school football, hard to believe it. We'll have a great guest in this hour. We're going to have our student athlete of the week this week from Reedley High. Will Bacon going to be joining us along with head coach Tony Gates. He'll be joining me in about 10, 15 minutes or so from now. We'll talk some NFL in that next hour, though. We're going to go full NFL conversation, including we have the ESPN contest that's on ESPN.com proper. They have an over-under win total. I'm going to fill out that contest live on air, and we're going to play along with it as well. Plus, we dissected the Niner game yesterday. We're going to dissect the Rams-Texans game today. We'll do the Raiders-Patriots tomorrow. So big preview of the week one opportunities. And then we'll take a close look at Eagles-Cowboys tonight here on the Central Valley Sports Leader. So that's what we got for you on the show. 2 hours, like I said, getting to send it up to Philly at 5 p.m. So we'll be here all day. If you want to enjoy some pizza as well and you want to come hang out, temperature's nice inside here at Fashion Furniture. We got some pizza courtesy of me and Ed's refreshments as well. So come hang, come listen to Sports Talk here and enjoy the rest of your Thursday afternoon. Good to be here. Like I said, we're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. We're on ESPN Fresno platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. So if you want to watch the video portion of our show, that is where we're at as well. And good to have you. Like and subscribe for the folks who are seeing out there on the video portion. So, good to be here. Excited to be here. Back in the studio, we got Jorge producing for us. He's in the chair today. Jorge, how are we doing on this Thursday? Happy football's back. You excited that NFL football's back?
Yeah, it feels like, you know, like when you go back to school or when you start a new job or something, you know, it's like everything's coming up, you know, so feels good. Feels good.
It's like when we had high school start two or 3 weeks ago. We had college a couple weeks ago and mostly all of college last week. But now we have the big boys going at it with the NFL. And now it really feels like we could go no wrong the rest of the year in terms of sports talk and content. I can't wait. It's my favorite time of year, all the way up leading to what should be a fun Super Bowl right here in our backyard in California, where we'll have it in Santa Clara in February. And then, by the way, guess what? The next year we're going to have it in SoFi the year after. So going to be a California flavor when it comes to the Super Bowls this coming year. But let's talk about the high school. We'll talk in the NFL in this first hour. Let's go into the high school side of things. Just go over some of the games going on tonight. That's right. Some teams had some short weeks to get ready for in terms of action tonight. And let's go to a few key matchups tonight. Buchanan, the Bears are heading over to Edison to take on the Tigers. Edison, of course, losing to St. Joe's. Buchanan falling as well in their matchup last week. I believe they were down in Bakersfield. I'm trying to remember which Bakersfield team they played. I'm looking at it right now. They had they played Bakersfield 2 weeks ago. They beat Kennedy. That's right. That's what I'm remembering there. So beating Kennedy, getting into the win column last week. So Buchanan looking to ride the momentum there. They got Edison, who had a win in week one, so they kind of had the inverse of these two teams of this record in the first 2 weeks. Bullard is looking to lick their wounds after a tough loss last week Clovis East beat them week one. Mayfair, they did end up beating. So Bullard is in the win column going into a short week here, and they got a big rivalry matchup against Hoover. Hoover with a nice win over Santa Maria after losing to El Capitan. So both teams 1-1 going into tonight. So I would say I hear a lot of people. We had some people who are from Bullard High who went to Bullard High who are interning for us and would say this is the matchup they always look forward to when it comes to any sporting event. Bullard-Hoover should be a lot of fun. Lemoore had a tough loss last week to Washington Union. And so they are in the last column there, 0-2 right now. And so they got El Diamante tonight. El Diamante had a really tough go last week from my memory. The Tulare Union just really had their way with them there. So both teams seeking a win tonight. How about Hanford? Hanford playing a game tonight. They played Thursday last week, so this is really kind of a full week for them, not a short week for them. Guess who's getting the short week is St. Joe's, their opponent. St. Joseph is going to be at Hanford tonight, and that's our lone-ranked matchup of the night, according to Max Preps. So Hanford with that big bounce-back win over Sanger last week. They get St. Joe's. St. Joe's, like I said, coming off of that win over Edison after their loss to Tulare Union. So St. Joe's got a big one there. Could go a long way for both of these teams in terms of, you know, that second highest division playoff seeding possibility if it comes to that. Sunnyside at Ridgeview tonight. Sunnyside looking for their first win. It was a tough go of it last week, and we'll talk to the guys who maybe made it frustrating for Sunnyside last week. They're going to have to lick their chops after losing to Reedley in the last bit. They get Ridgeview tonight, so we'll see what Sunnyside looks like and trying to find their first win down in Bakersfield. What else we got? Tehachapi at Taft. We've got Stockdale at Bakersfield tonight as well. Just a few to name in terms of the high school action tonight. Let's go over the schedule tomorrow because that's what we also got. We got a lot of games to get to in there, just with some notable ones. Of course, I want to start with our game that's going to be on 14:30 tomorrow night. We'll have Clovis West taking on Edison out of Stockton. Clovis West, really impressive win last week when they beat Liberty. Good offensive output, and this team is looking to roll off their sophomore quarterback, J.J. Howard, so we'll see what that team looks like. Last time we had him on air, crazy ending against Edison of Huntington Beach. In the last minute, I think they went for two on a fake extra point attempt and won the game 29-28. Maybe best game we had all year last year, and it was in the week one week as well. So we'll see if Clovis West can provide some drama tomorrow night. We'll see. We'll see where it comes to head from there. Like I said, that game is going to be at 7:30. San Joaquin Memorial back at home. They're 1-1. They get Castaic tomorrow in a non-regional game there. Bakersfield Christian at CVC. Bakersfield Christian 2-0. They're humming. And things are getting done for the team out there in Bakersfield Christian. 2-0, like I said, they beat Tehachapi at home. They beat Faith Lutheran. So CVC looking for their first win of the year. Tough start. They scheduled tough, like losing to Clovis and then losing to Larry Western, though, in a tight game. That's going to be a tough one. Of course, I think they kind of want this game for sure. Be a tough one to get. And they have Clovis North next week. So that's looming. For CVC, potential 0-4 start, maybe. We'll see. We'll see how they respond at a home game against Bakersfield Christian. How about this matchup? Sanger, Clovis East tomorrow. Clovis East hosting this team. Clovis East has been fighting. They beat Bullard pretty good. They were down to Kingsburg last week. They get a win over Kingsburg. They get Sanger, who Sanger we thought could have beaten Hanford last week, but Hanford able to pull out that win. So Sanger coming off the loss, looking to bounce back. I would say some revenge potentially for Sanger as well, as we were there at that game last week and or last year, and I know Sanger doesn't want a repeat of that. Other game, Central East back at home. They got Turlock, Central East. Their tough loss to Grant. Didn't really get off to the greatest start, and we know what they're capable of as a talent as a football team. Turlock's a decent program, so we'll see what kind of test that provides. But Central East will look to bounce back after a tough game to Grant out of Sacramento. Golden West, man, this is a crazy team to watch if you want to watch some football, some offensive output. They have been putting up some numbers. I've been pouring through some of the numbers offensively. They get Mission Oak, who's 2-0 this year as well. So Golden West should be an interesting team. That'll be a good one down in Visalia. How about Clovis? Clovis is a team that's humming. And they are playing as good football as anybody right now to start the year. And they get Frontier, who could be facing an 0-3 start to their season. Frontier, losses to Oak Ridge and a loss to Liberty out of Brentwood. Clovis is a big opponent. I would expect Clovis to maybe win this one if the way Frontier is playing football right now. Only 14 points for the first two games. Frontier will then have to go to Lincoln. Then they'll have to go to Clovis North. We'll have that game against Clovis North in week five. For Frontier, so we'll see what that response will look like. Of course, our guys who we're going to talk to, Reedley, Scott Arosi, tomorrow at home, so we'll look forward to chatting with them about that one coming up tomorrow. How about a 2-0 and 2-0 matchup, Garza and Kerman tomorrow as well. That'll be a fascinating one down there. Porterville and Selma is going to be in action, both teams 1-1. Madera's been rolling. How about Madera? They got this freshman running back. I think he's going to be a stud for Madera. 2-0 right now. They got Paso Robles at home. So Madera looking to get to 3-0 and have a really good start to their season. Dinuba takes on Kingsburg tomorrow. Let's see. Any other big ones? Redwood at Tulare Union. Like I said, I mentioned Tulare Union a little bit throughout some other opponents, and Tulare Union, a very good team as well. And, of course, I can't go without mentioning Jorge's team. Jorge, you want to guess who Tranquility's got this week, your Tranquility Tigers?
Let's see. It's gonna be somewhere in the west of the valley.
West of the valley. Uh-huh. You know what? I'll have to do a little Google search to know where they are.
Let's see. Who is it?
I have Farmersville. East Valley.
Yeah, that's East Valley. That was on the other side of the valley.
Yeah, yep. So a little bit past Visalia. So Farmersville taking the trick. It's a little bit of a trek to get to you guys.
Yeah, it is. That's usually how it goes with the small schools. They always got to travel.
Yeah, exactly. So the Aztecs taking on the Tigers tomorrow at 5:30. So that'll be a good one. Anything on Saturday? I'm just taking a little peek at it. Nothing much. Fresno Christian and Priori going at it there as well. So that's your high school slate for the weekend and for this day and this whole week three action. Can't wait to get into it. Stock up. Clovis, man. Clovis has got to stock up for me. And I said them again, Golden West. That's a stock up team for me as well. I'm paying attention to them this season in terms of what they're doing. So that's what we got. All right. We got a break to hit. But before we get to a break, I got to tell you about DraftKings. That's right. NFL fans, week one is your shot to play free and stack million-dollar cash bags with DraftKings Pick 6, an official partner of the NFL. Here's how. You got to download the DraftKings Pick 6 app, DraftKings' easiest way to play fantasy, enter for free, and pick more or less on six player stats for week one. You talk about tonight's game. I like a lot of overs. I like a lot of guys more in their section, including maybe a CeeDee Lamb or Saquon Barkley in yardage. Feel like a lot of yards tonight in terms of that. Share your link with friends to add more cash to the bag and get bonus shots to win. Hit all six picks, and you'll be splitting a bag that's already $1 million or more. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app. Use code KFIG. Opt in for free. Start stacking entries for NFL Week 1. Zero cost. Huge upside. Partnership with DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 18-plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Void where prohibited. Must claim token for free entry in Bag Builder contest. Only perfect entries earn share of cash prize. Tokens are single use and expire September 8th at 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Interview coming up next. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here in our first hour. And very pleased to be joined by our next couple of guests here on the show. Can't wait to chat with them. We have our Student Athlete of the Week interview for our show this week. And pleased to announce out of Reed Lee High, we have Will Bacon winning our ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. We have his coach here as well, Tony Gates, joining us. Guys, appreciate you taking the trip up here and being on the show. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. Thanks for having us. Yeah, doing well.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you. And, Will, I gotta ask you, first of all, how does it feel to be a Student Athlete of the Week?
I mean, it's awesome. It's an honor. Thank you, first of all.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we work every week as a team to put the best results out there for the team. And if we get some individual accomplishments to come with it, that's even better. So thank you very much.
Certainly. Tony, I'm sure that was a great phone call to get. I was talking to you a couple days ago. And I think I even heard you notify him.
Yeah.
Right then and there, right, yeah, on the phone. And that was a cool moment. But what was going through your mind when you heard he was going to be a Student Athlete of the Week?
Oh, totally deserved. I mean, this guy's been on fire. He puts in a lot of work. So, you know, I see the 364 days prior to that announcement of the work he's put in, and so it's just good validation for someone. And all our guys do. Will puts in a lot of work and a lot of time as a student athlete, and so to see him recognized, very happy about it.
Absolutely. And Will, talk about it. Just what got you into this award? School records certainly will do it, and it sounded like you got a school record, especially running the football. You're a quarterback, but you really did it with your legs last year, last week. six touchdowns through the ground, including what I heard it was a last-second touchdown. That was the final one that was the record holder and put you guys on top.
Yeah, with a minute left, it was 4th and 10, and we called a rollout fast play. And then I saw a lane up the middle, and then I took it all the way, about 60 yards, I think.
60 yards?
Yeah, I think so.
With a minute to go.
With a minute to go, yeah.
Coach, that's not how you drew it up, right? But it certainly was the way it worked.
Well, this guy's speed, I tell him if there's a lane, run it. So, yeah, it didn't surprise us. And, it was just a good moment. We've been really working on in the offseason some situational football, and we found ourselves in that situation, same one we'd done in practice 20 different times. And so I had no doubt these guys would get it done. Will would get it done. And, yeah, once this guy gets past the linebackers, watch out. You know, he's dangerous. So,
what makes him so dangerous when he gets out there?
His cutting ability and his takeoff speed. He's just really – he's like a, taller, ganglier kid. And so he's got a good cut to him, and he's just hard to take down. Like, guys just kind of slide off of him, and then his legs are so strong. He's a great high jumper. He high jumps 6'4", I think.
Yeah. Wow.
And so he's got some spring in those legs. So if he wants to cut and spring, it's hard to bring down.
I'm 6'4", so if you want to test that jumping ability, we could do that later.
They'll put you under the bar.
Yeah, exactly, right? Anyways, Will, what makes – what did you – have you worked on that before? Just, like, your elusiveness? Because you're a taller guy. I can point that out here on the airwaves. But, when it comes to the elusiveness, sometimes people don't really see tall as something that is elusive. But you kind of run like a – like a gazelle kind of way out there? Is that how it works? Or?
Yeah. I mean, ever since I was little, I played soccer when I was little. So cutting side to side, it's always been super important. And my dad used to coach a couple of the central guys, and so they would take me out there to do their ladder drills with them. And so I got to be really good at those, and so I can go side to side really fast. And so I run, kind of like a gazelle. I'm not a short guy, and so I'm out there, but I see every lane, and I just try to find the one that will give me the most yards. And then whoever I got to spin off of, whoever I got to cut in front of, whatever it takes to get there.
Soccer background. That's interesting, right? Yeah. Because was that your first sport for you?
When I was a kid, yes, that was my first sport. Yeah.
So when football started to present itself, when did that happen for you?
My first year of tackle football was 6th grade. I had only played flag before that. It was 7th grade. 7th grade. I wasn't allowed to play tackle football before that to save my head. My mom didn't want me to.
So, of course.
My dad was a coach, though, so I knew a lot of the game, and then I learned a lot of it through him and through my brother. And so learned a lot of the game, so it just kind of came naturally.
Were you a guy that was like itching, like, Dad, come on, just let me play?
Yeah,
you don't have to tell Mom.
A little bit. My little brother was definitely that way too, and he was like ready. So when it was my turn, he was like, "You better get out there and start going." And so I did as soon as I could, and then walked out their first day, and they were like, "Think you could play quarterback?" And I was like, "Sure." And so I've been quarterback ever since then. Yeah.
Tony, when did Will kind of come on the radar for you as coach-player relationships? When did you kind of start to get to know who he was and obviously kind of what kind of player he could be?
Yeah, when he was born. I've known him since he was been born. Yeah. His dad and I coached together way back in the day. In fact, I coached his dad.
Yeah.
One of my earliest coaching assignments was his dad. And then I wound up being – his dad was a head coach at Reilly High, and I was on that staff. And my oldest daughter and his oldest sister were on the same volleyball team. So our families have been intertwined for a long, long time. So it's been fun to see him and his other brothers grow up, and his sister's gone and has a great career now as a lawyer. And so it's just, our family's been intertwined, and it's been very, very fun to see it all come to fruition.
So I'm imagining you're having a conversation with his dad, being like, all right, he wants to play football. Like, where is the best spot for this kid? Because I'm sure he was a little skinnier than some of the guys, but trying to find the right spot. But did it just seem like quarterback was the right spot for him right at the beginning?
Yeah, we never had any doubts. I mean, obviously with his background and pedigree, they're talking football at times. Dad was a college football or a college quarterback. So we knew that that part of it, which is important for the quarterback, obviously, was there. And then, he was taller. He could spin the ball. I can't tell you how many times I drive by the stadium and lights are on and see him and his dad, his brother out there throwing. And so, it was a natural fit, yeah. But we can play him anywhere.
Yeah.
We can play him anywhere. Sometimes we struggle with that. Like, well, we could put Will here and we could put Will. Like, okay, let's rein it back in for a second. So,
Will, how long have you been the starting quarterback at Reilly?
So this is my third year starting quarterback at Ridley High School. I started as a sophomore.
Okay.
That was first year for me. Yeah.
So what has it been like? Is there a big comparison to where you started, like the big bright light moment? I'm like, oh, my God, I'm starting for Ridley High, to where you are now, where you're just doing this on the weekly kind of side of things. Like, compare and contrast those periods of time for you from when you started to where you are now.
No, yeah, for sure. When I started, yeah, I mean, the game was so fast. I mean, I was only a 15-year-old sophomore when I started playing varsity football. And so I'm a little scrawny kid, probably weighed like 140 in going against these 18-year-old linebackers. And so game was fast. I wasn't seeing reads as much. It was hard because, you know, when everything you really do feel the bright lights. It's like you're a deer in headlights sometimes. You're like, what do I do? But with time, with every game, I mean, you can't replace game reps. Like every game I get, it slows down a little bit more. And so now I feel like I see the field a lot more, and yeah. I can go through progressions. I can see options. I'm more aware of situations. And so I think just with time, I've just gotten more confident in my own level of play and more relaxed while I'm back there. Yeah.
Is there a game that year, that sophomore year, where it maybe clicked, or was there a practice or a conversation with coach that you felt, okay, maybe I'm not overreading something here, or I'm kind of, this is making sense to me now a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't know if there was a specific moment, but my quarterback coach, his name's Coach Swenning, he would just have conversations with me every day, and one of his main messages was always, just relax back there. You're a good player when you're confident in yourself. And so just relaxing and just trusting in my ability, that that's really just turned out. And I've learned so much, and I feel like I can trust that what I'm going to do is – going to probably be best for the team. And so just I'm not going to hesitate, and if I make a mistake, I'll make up for it on the next play. And so
yeah. Coach, when you watch him or throughout his progression, do you remember aha moments a little bit of like, oh, he did something here that maybe we were trying to tell him for a little bit, and oh, he may have figured something out here a little bit?
Yeah, well, I think it was your sophomore year we beat Exeter.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so we started out rough. I think we went
0-5.
0-5.
Yeah.
And but we were in every game. We were close, and Will was getting better every game. And we wound up getting better, and we won a couple games, and we needed a third game to be eligible. Mm-hmm. And just so happens Exeter was in our league. It's game 10. They're 9-0. They're 9-0, and we're 2-7.
Wow.
Yeah, 2-7.
Yeah.
And this guy right here scored every one of our points. He ran for one.
By rushing, a passing, and receiving touchdown and a safety.
And a safety.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I think he's going to be all right. And then that next week we played Delano.
Yeah.
And he had a really good game. They, you know, they had a hard time stopping him there. So, yeah, it just takes time. It takes time, like you said, for him to feel confident back there, understand what this guy's job is and what this guy's job is. Quarterback's hard because you got to set the protection mm-hmm. on top of everything else, and so you know, you just got to commit to him, and we were going to commit to Will, and we did.
And you guys made the playoffs last year as well, mm-hmm. so back-to-back yeah. playoff appearances. I know you wanted your season to go longer, but how do you feel like this team? Because has it been building to this year, it feels like, a little bit? Because you guys are off to a good start this year,
yeah.
you know, with the 2-0 start. Do you feel like it's culminating a little bit for this Ridley team of like, okay, these last couple of years we're making progress, and we're trying to get to a place where we can have a winning record here, and we could be in a higher seed in the playoffs here for this program.
Well, that's the key, is getting that higher seed. I've found doing this for a while now, mm-hmm. getting that high seed, getting that first home game if you can, getting a good matchup in the first round is just so key. And you know, yeah, we definitely it's been a under his class. I've had my eye on this group of skill position guys.
Yeah,
we're really young at skill position, but we're really good. And so I knew with him being a senior and having this skill position group is going to be pretty deadly. And it's so far, knock on wood, it's come to fruition. But yeah, we you know, we're in a tough league. We're in a league with Kerman.
Oh, yeah.
And CBC and Kingsburg.
Union's won a game
Washington
already.
Union, yeah. Yeah. So you know, we really know that we're going to have an ability to sharpen our sword against the best, and you know, hopefully come out of the playoffs in pretty good health. And then we just want a chance to get in there, but. That first round matchup I've found over the years is really key, really key. We had to go to Morro Bay last year
yeah.
against that really good quarterback. And, you know, Morro Bay, lots of long trip, no excuses or anything. But, you know, I would have much rather played at home.
Well, that's the goal, right? Will, I'd imagine this is your final year home playoff game's got to be like top of mind for you. I know you go week by week in terms of the preparation, but was that something you had written down somewhere or something you were like, I just want a playoff game at home. I just want something for my senior year. Have you thought about that in the preseason going in?
A little bit. I mean, we've had to travel pretty far for every playoff game that I've played. We have had Delano, then Wasco, and then Morro Bay with being the farthest. I feel like when you have a home playoff game, you're in your element the most. Your legs aren't sore from a long bus ride. You're really fresh. You're really ready with your guys, and you couldn't even go home at some point during the day. It's the most relaxed you can be before a playoff game is at home, and I really want that for my family, for my brothers, and so I think it'd be really exciting to have a home playoff game.
So what is a game like Sunnyside, that game where your back's against the wall, you got to make a play, and you had to make every play you needed to, and your team did have to make a play every time they needed to as well, and win a game on the road in hostile territory? What does that game show you? I could go with both of you on that question, just in terms of, okay, we did that, and where can we go from here with this Ridley team?
Yeah, for me, I think that shows that we're resilient beyond measure. Like, we could have given up within a minute left. It's 4th and 10, and got to make a play when plays got to be made. And I think that shows that there's not a team that we're going to back down from. Sunnyside has been a tough team for us in our history, and mm-hmm. a lot of our coaches don't really like Sunnyside. And so we've been going into that game. We knew that it was going to be a tough one and be a hard fight, but the fact that no one on our team had a doubt that whole game that we were going to win that game shows that we're really not afraid of any matchup that we come against.
I'll pose that same question to you, Coach. The Sunnyside game, you know, you're as good as your last week. What did it show for you?
Yeah, pretty much what Will said. You know, we really, and no disrespect to Sunnyside, good team, well coached, but, man, we had 3 picks in the first half. We had a kickoff return, and we were only down by 8 at halftime. And the kids, it was electric in the locker room at halftime, and I said, this is how this game's going to go. We're going to win the game. And you get lucky sometimes as a coach, it goes down just like that, you know, and they believe in you. But, you know, I go back – I love practice as a coach. That's where I have the most control. And we just decided this year, after last year, I sat down with my staff and I sat down with the players and I said, okay, what do we want to do different? And the one thing that was common between the two groups meeting separately was more situational football. And so we started on – we've had 2 Thursday games, but we'll say like on a Wednesday we do a 3rd and 7. If the offense gets the first down, 3rd and 7 against their scout defense, it's great. If not, they run a gasser immediately. First week was not very fun. You know, it was 102, and we had a little bit of fighting, and we had to, you know, we had to find our way. Second week before Sunnyside, we had less gassers, and then there it was. We found ourselves in that same situation, 4th and 10, and it's like the kids like, yeah, we got it. It was, you know, we've done this. We got it. Don't worry.
Preparation.
Right. That's all you can do as a coach. I tell them all the time, I'm not going to catch any more passes really high. I'm done. It's all up to you guys on Friday night.
Yeah.
I'll call a play, but really nothing much I can do.
Well, does it? You're like, man, coach is always right. Sometimes I wish these gassers we wouldn't run, but coach, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he does. He does. And in those moments, those gassers don't feel too good. But after a while, you realize that it's helping the team more.
Yeah. Well, you got a game tomorrow, and you got a Rossi, and just kind of looking at your schedule the rest of the way before you get to league play, you know, you got a bye, you got out Selma. Selma had a really good year last year, good program there. Mount Whitney, Hanford West. What are these next stretch of games before you get to league play? What's important about these and making sure you guys are set up in the right way going into the league play side of things where that schedule really beefs up?
Yeah, so I try to tell them all the time, regardless who we play, it's cliche, but whoever we play just is an opportunity for us to measure ourselves. It's not who we play, it's measuring against ourselves. How are we making progress? And I think our schedule is going to allow us to see some growth every week. And like I said, our league is a tremendous league, mm-hmm. Just well-coached, tough teams. And so, and no disrespect to the teams that we're playing pre-league, there's some good teams there as well. Like I said, Selma last year was a Valley champ. So I like it in the sense that it gives us a chance to just improve every week and learn from what we always go over, what went good, what went bad. And even though it's a tough league, you know, we feel we can go into every game, especially with a kid like this. We're not going to back down from anybody. We think we can win those games. And then at the end, we want to be in the tournament. And all those experiences we've had of playing Division II Kingsburg, Division II CVC, and all those great athletes with those other schools, we hope will serve us well to where then any situation we come up against, these guys are ready and they've seen it.
Yeah. Well, Coach mentioned a little bit earlier in this interview about just kind of the younger group of guys. Do you feel yourself the mentor on this team? And how do you – you know, when you start as a sophomore and you willed through this program, when did you start realizing you're kind of the – you're the guy people look at, and how have you taken ownership of that role?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like a bit of a mentor to a lot of the younger guys. I mean, my little brother's one of my starting receivers, and his friends, who are a lot of the starting guys, have been over at my house – and a lot of weekends, and I've had a lot of sleepovers with a lot of those guys. And I feel like I really came into more of a leadership role, I mean, from the start almost. I mean, my sophomore year we had Malachi, and he was our guy, but he didn't get to play the whole season. And I stepped up. I was just kind of the guy there to fill the void. And since then, it's kind of just been a lead by example kind of thing. I'm not a super talkative guy. I'm not the most... hoorah, I'm going to give you some amazing speech every day. Like, I am going to show up and practice, and I'm going to push you as hard as I can at practice. And I feel like those young guys, a lot of them really, I mean, they want to compete with me, man. Every time I'm out there at receiver and one of them's lined up with me one-on-one, they're like, oh, I got you right now. And I'm like, then do it then. So a lot of it's friendly competition. A lot of those young guys I've known since middle school, and so – it's just a good relationship with a lot of them, and I feel like they all kind of look to me, yeah, for leadership, but more just as a guide.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to put that work in every day, and I'm going to show you that we are.
Building that good foundation for these guys to make the program their own.
Yeah.
I do have to ask, I got a couple more questions before we say goodbye. I didn't know 4.9 GPA was possible. How do you do it, Will?
I'm not quite 4.9.
I heard 4.9. Yeah. So somewhere in the realm of possibility.
I guessed. Yeah. Somewhere in there. It was more than mine in high school.
No, I'm closer to 4.3.
Okay.
But, I mean, I take a lot of the harder classes at my school. I've always been one of the smarter guys in my class. And so for me, it's fun. I mean, I have calculus right now. And I look forward to that class every day. And, I mean, I just kind of – that's always just been a given to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I have really smart parents and really smart siblings. My sister's a lawyer, and my whole life I've been labeled the little Sam. And so I've been living up to her my whole life. And so a little bit of that every day, just, you know, putting my work in the classroom. Because I know at the end of the day my intelligence is going to always be there. Well, football might not always be. And so getting that up is really a priority for me. So I tend to enjoy my classes.
Coach, you stress that a lot, what Will said, you know, the classroom, everything like that. All these kids want to play football, but you got to work hard to get to that point.
Yeah, you know, throughout my career, we've had a few guys that probably could have played at the next level but just didn't handle their business in the classroom. You know, I've been blessed with two daughters that have been college athletes, and they were – good students like Will, and it's part of the equation maybe kids don't realize. You can want it all you want, but you can talk the talk, but you need to walk the walk in the classroom. The field's going to take care of itself if you're good enough, but you got to handle your business, because when you get to college, it's not that easy either.
Yeah.
Academically. So, yeah, I couldn't be more proud of him. Like, guy's taking calculus, man. Like, sometimes, half the time we give the play, he has the raises. I got it.
This is like algebra.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I know which one you're going to call. And some of our plays are pretty lengthy. He's like, yeah, I got it. He just walks away.
Exactly.
All right.
Call formation. I know what's coming next.
Yeah.
I got a less serious question. Is Will ever going to get a chance? He has soccer background. I wonder if he's kicking PATs at some point. Are you going to give him one?
Ooh. Well, I don't know.
I'm the holder right now.
He's the holder. He's the holder.
Okay.
You know, Reedley's a great soccer school, so we got some dudes that can kick. But he probably could. I think he had played around.
I think I was messing around and I made one once.
So
maybe senior night. Maybe you get give him one. I don't know.
You
give him one. You give him one. All right. Well, I got some prizes for you, and I'm going to show it here, see if we can fit it here. Will. Look at this thing. We got a big check for you here.
Oh,
I'm not trying to hit the apparatus, but I'm showing it on the camera, and you can take a look at it there. Yeah.
Dang.
Reedley High for you. That can hang up somewhere. You got a spot. I'm putting you on the spot. You want a place where you're going to hanging up?
This can go in my room. I'm near my desk somewhere.
All right. Sounds good.
I put it in the living room.
Dude.
I got a T-shirt for you as well. Student Athlete of the Week T-shirt for you here. I've got some other great items as well, including, if I can find them, here you go. How about two tickets to Fresno State next Saturday?
Oh,
for the game against Southern University.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Some other food items in here. I got you a KFC coupon as well.
Oh,
and I got a Toledo's coupon here in Fresno as well. If you're in town, you get some Toledo's action.
Dang.
Plus, you get to keep this back.
Oh,
so,
thank you so much. Yeah.
There you go. And finally, you are automatically entered into our pool of Student Athlete of the Year nominees, which we will get throughout the whole season, the whole school year, and we will end with a banquet at the end of the school year.
Awesome.
So stay tuned for the details on that. It's early.
I will, yeah. Sure.
But you'll be hearing from us, and we'll have the details on our end of the school year banquet with all of our Student Athletes of the Year, and it should be a lot of fun, a fun night as well. So automatically entered for that Student Athlete of the Year and plus Student Athlete of the Year could win a $1,500 scholarship and an iPad to college. So you'll be in there for that.
Awesome.
Will, appreciate it. Tony, appreciate it as well. Thanks for coming on the show, and good luck tomorrow against DeRossi.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Appreciate all you do for high school sports, man.
Absolutely. Good to highlight it as well. Appreciate it, guys. We'll see you.
All right.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back on Behind the Bench on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thanks to Will Bacon and Tony Gates of Reedley Football for joining us in the last segment. That was a lot of fun talking Reedley Pirates football. 2-0. How about that start for them? They'll be going at it tomorrow against Orosi. Orosi looking for their first win of the season. And that should be a good one. Or excuse me, Orosi already has a win. I misspoke. Orosi has a win. So battle of undefeated teams tomorrow night in Reedley. So pay attention to that. Orosi coming off a bye, by the way. Coming off of a bye. So that's what we got for you. All right. We are here. We are live here at Fashion Furniture. First hour coming to a close here. We got another hour coming up after you here. And we'll do some fun NFL stuff next. Little NFL news for you that broke earlier today. Yours truly making a massive fantasy mistake because of it. Amari Cooper retires again from the NFL, saying no mas with the Las Vegas Raiders. Practiced and did preseason for 3 weeks and decided, yeah, no, never mind. I'm good with the retired lifestyle, so. That's what he is doing, and the Raiders are down a receiver now going into this week one matchup against New England. I can't imagine that's a good omen for him going into it. But, Jorge, this is one of the stranger stories I've seen in terms of the NFL with Cooper just saying, yeah, you know what, I'm good a few days before. And the reason why, by the way, Jorge, first of all, strange story. Cooper, right or wrong, into retiring right before the season? I guess he's right. Everybody has the right.
He played for so many seasons. I think he's good to go. Like whenever he wants to.
Yeah. I'd rather have a guy on the field who's compelled and ready to go instead of like just kind of half-heartedly going out there just unsure of himself and what he wants to do in his career. So I think that's all for the best in terms of it. I was going to say, Jorge, I told you the story of what I did in one of my fantasy leagues with Amari Cooper, right?
Yeah, you were mentioning it here. It was, I don't know how to explain that to you, like just anybody, like.
So I messed up. I was so sure that Amari Cooper could do some sort of something in his career with the Raiders one last year here, at least for the Raiders here. So a few days ago, maybe six days ago, I put in a waiver claim after a draft and said, hey, I want him. And I went a little rich because I thought, I don't know why. I really don't know why. I threw out a number. I wasn't sure exactly what I was doing with the number because I may have accidentally typed in 32 instead of 3 or 2. I can't remember what it was. Fat fingers. It may happen. Well, certainly I typed in a double-digit number for a waiver claim of Amari Cooper. And sure enough, 3 days later, he is no longer a member of my team. So that's that, and that's crazy. And I'm already at a disadvantage in the waiver wire money pool, per se, in that action. So I'm down a little bit. You know what? I'm going to play fantasy on hard mode this year. That's what I'm going to do. And I already said to the folks in my fantasy chat that I'm going to hold a jersey retirement ceremony for Amari Cooper of my fantasy team. The Hakuna Nakua's, and yeah, it'll be week 10. So week 10, Amari Cooper jersey retirement for my team, the Hakuna Nakua's, in my fantasy league. So there you go. Is that fair, Jorge? Week 10 feels like a good spot to retire Amari Cooper's jersey.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, he's already retired, so it doesn't matter when you do it. But, yeah, I feel like that's fine. That's fine. It doesn't matter.
Somebody responded in my fantasy chat, and they sent the Carmelo Anthony Atlanta Hawks jersey.
Nice.
Yeah. If you remember, I don't know how many games Amari Carmelo Anthony played for the Atlanta Hawks. I'll tell you, it's not much.
I think it was zero, wasn't it?
I don't think he played, right?
Yeah,
he didn't play. I don't know. Carmelo Anthony. Can I get it here in 10 seconds? Yeah, he didn't even play. He didn't even play for the Atlanta Hawks. So there you go. That was as hilarious as it could be. All right. We're at the end of hour number one. Hour number two, we're previewing everything in the NFL again. I'm going to do over-unders. All this great stuff coming up next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
The 20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here for another hour on this program. Before we say goodbye and send you to Philadelphia, can't wait for that. And it's the Cowboys and the Eagles, and the NFL season is here and ready to roll. And I'm sure a lot of us are doing last-minute tinkerings to our fantasy lineups, maybe some daily fantasy lineups, including maybe some DraftKings stuff as well. We'll dive into it all here coming up in this next hour because we got a lot to dive into. First of all, we're streaming again. We're here at Fashion Furniture. Fashion Furniture, always a gracious host for us and our show, and we can't wait to bring it to you in every capacity that we got it. All ESPN Fresno platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, we're there live on the video portion of it. Miss the show, you can go back and scroll back in an on-demand feature on our live video as well. So, like I said, we're here live at Fashion Furniture. By the way, Fashion Furniture still celebrating 65 years of being in business in fashion, where you'll find the best names like Flex Steel, Bassett, Michael Nicholas, Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and more. Save up to 40% on selected items with 0% financing. Plus, every sale, Fashion Furniture will take funds of that and donate it to Honor Flight. Portion of that funds to every sale they make goes to the Honor Flight. So help them send a veteran to Washington and also help them celebrate 65 years. Special gifts for couples as well. How about 25, 35, 45, 55, 65 years of marriage if you've been married for that long with your partner, be sure to stop by. They got a special gift for you if you make a purchase. Fashion Furniture celebrating 65 years, only in Fashion Furniture, nothing like it in all of California. Like I said, we got some pizza here as well for you to enjoy. We had a really good first hour, a lot of high school talk, including a great interview with our student athlete of the week, Will Bacon, and Tony Gates out of Reedley Football. If you missed that, you can go live on demand on our 1430 ESPN app. Or 1430 ESPNFresno.com website. All right. We're going to do a little Fast and Furious kind of pick'em show here. Jorge, I want you to cue up the NFL music here when you're ready. But I want to preface what this segment's going to be here before we play it, before we play the music. ESPN has a wins total contest on their website. I am going to rapidly go through the win totals over and unders here in this segment. Could take a little bit. We got to get to 32 teams. I'm standing up for this. If you were listening on the video portion, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to get the legs moving a little bit here because this should be a lot of fun. We got to figure out who has what it takes to hit their win totals or not hit their win totals. ESPN has the lines here for you, and I can't wait to go through these all. So I haven't seen these yet. I can't wait to get into them. And, Jorge, are you ready? Are you ready? I just simply need an agree or disagree and maybe just a little reason why from you on these 32 teams.
I agree.
You ready for this?
You
agree on everything. With that being said, are you ready to go through all 32 teams right here at the top of the second hour? Oh, there we go. Hello. Oh, I can feel it, folks. I can feel it. All right, we're going to start with the number one team on their list. Hey, guess what? It was my number one team this year going in. Baltimore. Baltimore, 11.5 is the number. 11.5. I think their division's pretty straightforward in teams beating them. I think they can go 5-1 in that division. It's just a matter of them beating some other teams around. I think they can find 7 more wins out of their division. Give me the Baltimore Ravens over 11.5. I think they go 12-5 this year, Jorge.
I agree.
You agree. Perfect. We got Buffalo. 11.5 is the number for Buffalo. That's a sneaky number. I think things are just going to be a little bit tougher for the Buffalo Bills. I feel like 11 is the number. Do I sit on 12? Can they get to 12 in my opinion? I don't know. I think 11 is the number. I'm going to pick under 11.5, but just barely there. 11.5 is just a little too high for me.
I disagree, but barely.
Okay. Kansas City, 11.5. I'm crushing the under here. I think this is a 10-7 football team, or at least 11-6. I don't think they can get to 12-5. I got Kansas City at an under 11.5.
I agree.
you agree, question mark?
Question mark.
Last team at 11.5 right here, the Philadelphia Eagles. It's an easy division. The NFC is a little less competent than the AFC. I'm going over 11.5. I think they're a 12-5, maybe even 13-4 team. I'm going to go over.
I disagree. Slightly.
You think they're going under 11.5?
Yeah, just slightly.
You think they're 11 wins?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Bengals, 10.5. This is insane to me. I'm going under. I think they're a 9-8 or maybe a 10-7 team, but I can't see them getting any higher than that.
I agree.
You agree. All right. Lions, 10.5. I think they are at 11 wins. I think they're an 11-win team. That's a good line to put them at. I don't think they're good any higher, but I think 10.5 is a little low for where the Lions sit. I think it should have been maybe at 11.5. So I'm going to go 10.5 for the Lions.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
You agree. All right. 10.5 for the Chargers. The Chargers, who are having some issues here. I was a little higher on them. You're asking them to get to 11 wins this season, and if they get to 11, maybe they're better than the Chiefs. I think the AFC West has a hard time beating each other. I'm going under 10.5, but I think it's 10-7. I think that's where I'm sitting for the Chargers.
Yeah, they're in a tough conference division too, so I'm going to go with I agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. Rams, 10.5. 10.5. You're asking 11-6 for this Rams team, who a little banged up. But I think the schedule's favorable. I think I went and picked them at around 13-4 or 12-5 at the preseason side of things. So I think I can go over 10.5 for the Rams. I think this is an 11-6 football team.
I agree.
You agree? Question mark. Niners, 10.5. Oh, boy. I had so much to say about the Niners yesterday's show. A lot of people picking this under in the 10.5. It's got a 72% picked rate in terms of that. I'm going to go over. I think they're an 11-win football team. I think it's too hard to ignore with the schedule. They have to. If they don't, then I'm out on everything in terms of what the Niners provide.
I definitely agree on that one.
Okay. Washington over 10.5. Beware of Washington. I think this is going to be a tougher year than people think. They went 12 wins last year. I think they regress, and I think they regress to no higher than a 10-win team. I actually think they're 9-8, and that's where I sit with the Washington Commanders. So I'm hitting the under pretty good on the Commanders here, 10.5.
I got to disagree with you on that one. Yeah, strongly disagree, yep.
Okay. The Broncos, 9.5. Feels like a gimme. I think the Broncos could be an 11-win team this year. I think they could be a 10-win team. I think they could be a 12-win team. Denver's going to pick it up here this season, feel really good about what their chances are. Give me Denver over 9.5.
I agree with you, but I feel like they're in the same boat as the Chargers. So, okay. Yes.
Well, I think you're getting better odds then. Let's take out the Chargers the whole game higher. Packers, 9.5. Crushing the over. They got significantly better than 9.5 wins. That Packers team could be 12-5. They could be 13-4 with the way they have talent on this team. Give me way over the 9.5 number they got.
They got a defense now, so I agree.
Texans, 9.5. I think this is no better than a 9-win team. I know their defense is pretty good. But I am not overwhelmed by the Texans. I'm underwhelmed by the Texans. I'm under their win total. This is 8-9 to me. Put me the Texans 9.5 under.
I feel like they're in a division that could work for them, so I disagree with you on that one.
All right, sir. How about the Bucs? 9.5 is the number for the Bucs. Wow. This feels really like easy money to me. I think the Bucs are an 11-win football team. I'm taking the Bucs 9.5 over in this one.
I got to disagree. Disagree, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
You have the Bucs no better than 9-8 next year? All right. The silence is deafening.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I was looking at something else.
All right. Lock in, Jorge. Lock in. We got the Cardinals over under 8.5 wins this year. I think I'm going to hit the under here. I think they are an 8-win team. 8-9 feels good. It could be that sneaky 10-win team if things go right. I could be convinced of it. They're one of the weirder ones out there. I'll go under, though. I think it's 8-9.
I agree with you.
Chicago, 8.5. 8.5 for Chicago. Over, under, and wins this season. I am going to pick over 8.5 wins for the Bears. I'm thinking they're going to be a 9-8 team.
I agree with you. That's very accurate, yeah.
Cowboys at 8.5, crushing that under. I thought they could have had that conversation to me, but they're going to have to outscore everybody. They're kind of the Bengals of the NFC, in my opinion. And I just don't see it happening. Cowboys are going to be an 8-win, 7-win team this year.
The Bengals? What?
Excuse me, the Cowboys. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you said the Bengals of the –
Yeah.
No.
Poor defense, somewhat competent offense. Am I wrong?
I feel like the Bengals are way better. Okay, we're just – all right, I disagree with you, but yeah.
Okay. So you think they're going to go over their 8.5, the Cowboys?
Oh, wait. No, I agree with you on that, but I disagree that they're –
Got to clarify that.
Yeah.
Miami Dolphins, 8.5, crushing that under. Dolphins, 5-win football team this year for me. I think they're going to go 5-12.
I got to disagree with you. I think they're going to win a little bit more than that, but
– No way.
They're not going to go over what you said, 8 or
– 8.5.
8.5, yeah. They won't go over 8.
9-8 for you to hit that.
Yeah, they won't go over that, but I don't know that they win 5. That's – yeah.
Vikings at 8.5. think this is a too low of a number. I think the Vikings could be a 9-win, 10-win team this year. I'm going to go Vikings over 8.5.
Big quarterback question for me, so I disagree with you. Yeah.
All right. Steelers, 8.5. I think they're an 8-9 team. I think they're going to go lower. I got under 8.5 for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I got them at 8-9.
I agree with you. Yep.
You agree? All right. Seahawks, 8.5. I got a 10-win Seahawks team this year. I think they're competent. I think they got a lot to prove. I got them over 8.5. I think they're a 10-win team, 10-7.
I got to agree. Yeah, I agree with you.
Patriots, 7.5. Man, I think this NFL's got to have a lot of middle teams. I'm kind of in that middle tier. 7.5 feels a little low. I think they could be a 9-8, maybe a 10-7 team, the Patriots.
10-7, I mean, I don't know about that. Maybe a 9-8, but I don't know about 10-7.
Falcons, 7.5. I'm going to go under. I think they go 7-10 this year. I got under for the Falcons at 7.5.
I agree with you.
Hey. Panthers, 6.5. We're now into the lower territory. I'm going to go over. I think the Panthers are a 9-8 football team this year. I think they're one of the bigger risers. So I'm going to go Carolina, 6.5 over.
They got better weapons this year, so I think that's right. Yeah, I agree.
Colts, 6.5. Feels like a guarantee under to me. I think they're a 5-win, maybe even 4-win football team. Their coach could get fired there with Shane Steichen. I got them at a 5-12 clip this year. Colts under 6.5.
I agree. A lot of new things happening in the franchise, all the way from the top to the bottom. So, yeah.
Jaguars, 6.5. I made the bold proclamation yesterday. They will win the AFC South. I have them at 9 wins this year. They are over 6.5.
I believe they're over 6.5. I don't know they're, you know, making the playoffs, but they're definitely right. Over 6.5.
Raiders, 5.5. 5.5 wins they got the Raiders this year. I think they're going to be an 8-win team. 8-9 for the Raiders this year. I'm picking the over, 5.5.
I agree with you.
Saints, 5.5. That feels generous. I'm crushing the under. I think the Saints are going to be a 2-win football team this year. Under 5.5.
Tough schedule with a team that's really bad. Yeah, I agree with you.
The Giants, the G-men, at 5.5, over, under. I think it really is dependent on when Jackson Dart comes in and plays. If Russ starts half the season, they're under. But if Dart plays, then I could see this as a frisky 6-win, 7-win team. I'll give the Giants a 7-win clip, 7-10 this year. Give me over the 5.5 win total.
I disagree. I don't think the Giants have anything at all. So, yeah, I disagree.
That pass rush is a nightmare. The Jets at 5.5. I'm going under. They're a 5-12 team. I don't have any faith in what's going on there in New York. Give me the Jets at 5.5.
I keep forgetting who their quarterback is. So, yeah.
That's a bad problem.
I'll agree with you on that.
The Titans at 5.5. I'm taking the over. I think they're a 6-win team, 6-11. It's Cam Ward, good debut season. Very middle of the road, but 6 wins feels like it's on the docket for the Titans.
They had a lot of rookies a few years ago, and those rookies have turned into better weapons. So I think they're on the up. So yeah, I agree with you.
And finally, the Browns at 4.5. They are a 4-win football team for me this year. 4-13 for the Browns. I have them under. They're 4.5 total.
Hey, don't be mad at Joe Flacco, man. He's doing his best. That's why I agree with you.
He's doing it. Would you say, Jorge, he's trying his hardest?
Trying his hardest.
And that wraps up the win totals for our league. And I just made my picks live on air on the ESPN Pick'em Wins Total Challenge there. So that was fun. That was a good little exercise. Feel better about everything. What'd you say, Jorge? What were you saying with Joe Flacco? Do you got the soundbite? You got the soundbite Joe Flacco was talking about? Hold on. Ah, yeah. Well, all right. Run one.
My bad. Run one.
I'm just trying my hardest.
That's right, Joe Flacco. You're just trying your hardest. It's all good. All right, Jorge, let's get the music queued up because I got to tell people about DraftKings. I got to tell people about DraftKings here. It's week one. That's right. The word you want to hear is week one. It's your shot to play free and stack $1 million cash bag with DraftKings Pick 6, official partner of the NFL. All you got to do, download the DraftKings Pick 6 app, DraftKings' easiest way to play for free, and you enter for free. Pick more or less on 6 player stats for week one. You talk about some big names coming up. Of course, you got tonight. Of course, Joe Burrow's on the list. I'm looking at some Pat Mahomes action, Tua. If you're in the quarterback realm, or maybe you like some of your running backs in your fantasy league, I got Bucky Irvin. We'll see what he can do this week. Share your link with friends to add more cash to the bag and get a bonus shot to win. Hit all 6 picks, and you'll be splitting a bag that's already at $1 million or more. I'm looking at right now $1.35 million bag right now in the Pick 6 Challenge there. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 apps. Use code KFIG. Opt in for free and start stacking entries for NFL Week 1. Zero cost, huge upside, partnership with DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 18-plus age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Void where prohibited. Must claim token for free entry. Bag builder contest. Only perfect entries earn share of cash prize. Tokens are single use and expire September 8th at 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Wrapping up our day. A couple more segments to go before we say goodbye for the afternoon, evening, and I'm sure you're going to zip on out of your workday. Go watch football tonight. Eagles, Cowboys. You know, it's not like the most appetizer out there. I'm trying to like think of like, Jorge, when you look at a menu of apps, what's your like go-tos, and then what are the ones you try to avoid? Well, you're at a restaurant, you sit down, you look at the menu, and you're like, okay, there's some appetizers I'm in, and there's some appetizers I'm not. Like tonight feels like onion rings to me. I'm not like a big onion ring guy. I'm more of like a fried calamari, or I like a bruschetta, or I like what else? A good sampler. Tonight feels like onion rings, just kind of like a standard, or just like a plate of garlic fries to me. Nothing crazy special, but it's also like I can still hold down and have a good meal with them.
Yeah, I feel like garlic fries, maybe not for me. I'm not a huge big garlic guy, but definitely it does feel a little bit like it's just, you know, you got there at the end of the shift and there's only certain things left over, or you got there early and they only have something really, you know, not everything's ready yet. So they're going to give you what they salsa? Got.
Is that what it is? Is tonight's chips and salsa?
It's chips without salsa.
Oh, it's just the chips. No, yeah. No salsa.
Yeah, the salsa would make it more.
You just have the chips tonight, and it's before their meal, and you know you're having a wonderful meal afterwards. But it's just like it's a thing of chips. It's nothing special. That's what Cowboys Eagles is tonight. But at least you have something whetting the appetite ahead of the slate for the rest of the week, including tomorrow night's game, including Sunday's action. You know, you just got to get the people ready. It's a primer per se in terms of tonight's football game.
Yep, that's correct. I feel like it's, you know, It's going to be a good 5 days of just football. Let's see, one, two, yeah, like around 5 days of football, just.
Oh, well, yeah.
And quite frankly, it's going to be a lot. but we're ready for it.
When you go out with a group of people, you feel like appetizers are a must, or do you feel like everybody just kind of gets their meal?
If you share, you got to share. You got to have a sharing appetizer, like some fries, like for everybody, or you know something, yeah. Nachos, you know, something that everybody could grab a little bit of, you know, so they could.
I feel like, because if I had Old Basket, like if there was like a thing of 12 mozzarella sticks, I'd be so in. But I feel like anytime somebody offers mozzarella sticks, I only get like 4. That's never enough for everybody. So I feel like mozzarella sticks only belong in the sampler. I never want the individual mozzarella sticks, but they're so good.
Yeah, but I feel like samplers are just for you. Like you, because you want to try a little bit of everything.
So you, just a single person taking down a sampler, not a whole group of people taking down the sampler.
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like the sampler is like you want to try a little bit of everything that's out there. But it, like you also, you could share with another person, yeah. But if it's like more than, if it's more than 3, then you're not going to get, you know.
What's your go-to sampler style? Like to me, like a sampler's got to have wings. It's got to have boneless wings. It's got to have a little chips and salsa. It's got to have some mozzarella sticks. I'm trying to think of what else belongs in the sampler.
Onion rings.
Some onion rings. What else do we got? I'm missing something. I've seen quesadilla, a little quesadilla action in some sampler, but I'm thinking of
yeah, like something that like looks like a bigger plate that's just easy to put in there, but it's a small version of it.
Exactly, yeah, like a half version. Or the sliders, man. How could I forget about sliders? Sliders, yeesh. Whoa. Yeah, those are good. You can't miss with a good slider. Enough food talk. I'm getting hungry. We got a great week of football. We talked last show about the Niners game. Let's talk about this Rams game. And we had a little bit of news, and we'll call it a sports story, brought to you by Valley Pure. For the Texans, this will affect the matchup on Sunday for the Rams. Christian Kirk out. Hamstring injury. He injured in practice. He is no longer going to play in this game coming up in week 1. Certainly alleviates a lot of pressure for the Rams on defensive side. Feels like there is less to worry about on the defensive side for the Rams, and they can seem to attack a little bit more as the Texans are going to be shorthanded in the wide receiver department. They still have Nico Collins. Of course, they lost Stephon Diggs a year ago, and Tank Dell is still unavailable, obviously, in what he's recovering from in his injury as well. So the Texans right now are certainly going to be limited in their passing game. And I know C.J. Stroud is C.J. Stroud, but with Christian Kirk out, it's Nico Collins, Jaden Higgins, and who are we getting? Like Xavier Hutchinson? Like, there's not many options for this Texans third wide receiver spot. And seems like the Rams are getting a break here in week 1. Jorge, how big is the Christian Kirk injury, do you think, for the Rams going into Sunday?
Yeah, I feel like it's not a huge thing. Like, it's not going to break the season, but it's definitely coming at a bad time, especially right now where they're all starting and trying to just you know get in there as a team and you know bringing everything they got, and now you have to find somebody to replace this guy. And is he ready? Is he not ready? Is he gonna be up to the par? You know, stuff like that. But it's definitely bad timing, I guess.
Yeah. It'll certainly affect things when it comes to the Rams and what they're gonna key in on. I got to imagine the Texans are going to try to lean on the run. Texans right now, you know, do you have a guess on who they have ranked number one in their depth chart for running back right now going into this game?
No, I don't have a guess. That's it. Let's see. I know they had Joe Mixon, right?
Last year, his leg split in half. Well, maybe it was 2 years ago. I think it was actually 2 years ago. His leg split in half.
I'm a little confused.
That was Nick Chubb. That was Nick Chubb.
Oh, Nick Chubb. Okay.
Yeah, Nick Chubb's leg split in half 2 years ago. Not great. And they're going to start him at running back. Maybe Nick Chubb's got something. I don't know. That was a devastating injury to come back from. But maybe we get the Nick Chubb of old. So we'll see what the Rams can do in terms of that. Nick Chubb at 29 years old right now. Still only 29, by the way. Feels like he's been in the league for like 10 years. There's a fly just flying around my face right now. That's just killing me. On the flip side, the Rams, I think there's obvious concerns with what Stafford's rust will look like in terms of his prep. He certainly hadn't had the most effective offseason as getting ready for this season with his back injury. Matthew Stafford's as good of a pro as anybody, though. He has a good feel to the game. You would think that he can kind of get through it. And the Rams feel confident in Stafford that he can be ready for this game. It's just a wonder if Stafford's going to have any discomfort in the game. And the hope is he can stay avoiding any sort of contact. Stafford very good at avoiding contact, really, in the pocket. I think he's got one of the lower sack rates in terms of that, just because he has an ability to get rid of the football. And so we'll see. This is going to be a very difficult pass rush for this Houston Texans team. This Texans team is as good as it gets in the defensive side. Will Anderson, very, very big-time rusher for them. They're going to have Danielle Hunter on the other end making things happen and making things very uncomfortable for Matthew Stafford. Sheldon Rankins, Mario Edwards in the middle of that defense is going to make things happen. And then on the flip side, when it comes to the secondary, Derek Stingley Jr., phenomenal player. Kamari Lassiter, very underrated kind of guy that you need to know about. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, we know what his story is and how he has been a big player for this Texans side. So as much as there's disaster written all over the Texans' offense in this one, it is the defensive side and what the Rams can do on the offense that is where this game is going to get won or lost for them. Jorge, scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in that Stafford is going to play how Stafford has been playing in week one on Sunday?
Like a good Stafford, like the one we saw when they went to the Super Bowl?
Or even last year, the way they played down the stretch last year, yeah.
I'm like a 70% sure he'll play like that.
Mm-hmm.
I still have my doubts, though. He was out for a long time,
Yeah.
And I wasn't until, what, like 2 weeks ago or last week when he came back?
2 weeks ago. He's been practicing for 2 weeks.
So, yeah, no, I mean, I don't know if that's enough to get him up to speed. But definitely, you know, I think he's still like, I feel at least at 70%. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it helps him if the run game is effective, certainly. What Kyren Williams can do in the run game and how he can be effective for this Rams offense. Kyren Williams is probably going to be my biggest key player in this one for the Rams. We know what Devontae can provide and we know what Puka can provide in terms of that. It's just a matter of play action, the effectiveness of the run and what the run can create in terms of the play action. It's almost like we're going back in time a little bit with this Rams team. I got to believe in the way it's structured. We're going back to like when the Rams were under McVay back in 17 and 18 kind of aspect of an offense. It's not like what they did when they won in the Super Bowl and spread them out and they didn't have really anybody going. I mean, who was it? Cam Akers in a running back when they won the Super Bowl. So, yes, far cry from that. They're adapting to a version of the Rams we saw a long time ago in early McVay time. So I'm curious to see what that will be in terms of success, how far they can get away from that or if they can avoid getting away from that. The good thing is I think you can potentially run on this Texans team, control the ball, control the clock, then have it set up the pass later in the game because – once you get them off kilter in the run game and they don't know exactly what you're going to be throwing at them, then things get a little more dicey for this Texans defense. The problem also with the Texans defense is I don't think they're going to get – when you have a unit on the field longer than the other unit, generally the one that struggles more when it's on the field is the defense. So if you had to say, well, if the Rams are going to win on the offensive side of the ball and the – or if they're going to win on the defensive side of the ball facing the Texans offense, if they're going to win there, theoretically, you should think they're going to be on the field less as a defense. Eventually, if the time of possession is going to be more to the Rams, the Texans' defense is going to get more tired. And despite all of their star talent, a tired defense in week one, going about 30, 35 minutes of time of possession, then I think that defense is going to get worn down regardless of how it is. So that's why I think the matchup is so good for the Rams, because if it was the flip side of it, if it was the Rams defense that had to win today against a very elite offense, I'd be concerned, even though I know the Rams offense is elite. But because this matchup is so bad for the Texans in offense versus Rams defense, I think this is as good of an opportunity for the Rams to win a football game in week one that I've seen in quite some time. I don't know if I made a whole lot of sense making that point, but I wanted to make that point in general because I just need you to visualize it if you're looking at this game as a Rams fan. Jorge, did I make any sense of that? When Houston's defense, for as good as they are, if they're going to be on the field more because Houston's offense is going to struggle against this Rams defense, then I think the Rams really have a good leg up in this football game from a standpoint of that.
Yeah, I think it's going to end up, you know, being a really defensive game, but And it's going to land on the offense to see who could take advantage of what the other one's, you know, mistakes are. And I think you said it right. It's going to be one of those games where, you know, you got to take advantage of the other's mistakes to win it.
Yeah. Can't wait to see what this game looks like. And by the way, I saw it was locally tabbed for our game. So we're not going to get Packers-Lions locally on CBS. We're going to get Rams and Texans on CBS locally. I saw the broadcast maps. Ori, did I tell you the broadcast maps for this week in terms of the local?
I saw the Niners one. I saw the Niners-Seahawks start at 1 p.m. here.
Yeah, they're going to be on Fox locally here. And the local morning game on CBS will be the Patriots and Raiders. So all of our teams on TV. And if you're tired of the broadcasters, which I know I will be, with the Raiders and the Patriots one, because it's Spiritus, and I'm not very – I'm sorry. No disrespect to Spiritus. I'm not a big fan. I'm going to be listening to some other broadcast opportunities in that sense as well. So, but the Rams will be the local CBS late game to this Sunday, so that should be pretty good. All right. Any other things on this game? Is there a player you can't wait to see? Is it Devontae? I got to imagine that's the obvious answer. Are you, like, Jorge, are you just licking your chops to see what Devontae Adams looks like as a Ram on Sunday?
Yeah, I feel with the Rams, I always keep my eye out for Rivers, and he's not going to be there this time. So, I don't know. It feels like I'm missing something. Because the last few years, he's been there, and he's been part of, like, special teams, or he's been in a player or two. And you think about it, and it's like, oh, that's so cool. But since he's not there, I feel like I'm going to be looking out for him, but he's not going to be there. So at least we'll have Devontae to watch, you know, but yeah.
Well, I mean, you're going to get a lot more Devontae than Ronnie Rivers.
Yeah, that's true.
Ronnie Rivers. So you're going to get Devontae every play, and you're going to be watching him there. So I got to imagine you're a lot more locked in on Rams just for the Devontae element of it. I just wonder, was last year a step back in production, or was last year just a crazy psycho year for Devontae Adams? Was it just that Raiders thing was so bad and he had to get out, and he got out into the Jets situation, and the Jets situation just got infinitely worse? And do you wash it away? Was there any production drop in Devontae last year? That's a big question mark. Or was it simply a product of the environment he was in, where it was two circuses, let's be honest, the Raiders and the Jets. So that's my big question mark. He's back in a more stable situation, basically since Matt LaFleur and the Packers' whole ecosystem, Devontae would struggle less in those situations. So I'm curious, because he kind of comes from that same camp with McVay and them as well. So I'm very curious to see what that'll look like. So that's going to be a key wrinkle in Devontae's season and maybe this year for him moving forward. So that's one last little bit for that. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we wrap up the show. We're going to talk daily spread, here with the Eagles and the Cowboys, where we're going to take it, what, who's taking what. I'm going to make my official pick for tonight's game, give you the schedule for the rest of the week. Stay with us. We'll wrap up our show here next on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Wrapping up our show, getting ready for a NFL opening night tonight. And what should be a good one here between the Cowboys and the Eagles. You know, good. I'm not going to go great. I'm not going to go amazing. I'm going to go good. That's as high as I'm going to go there. Hey, if you want to listen to it, though, it's going to be right here on 1430, coming up next at 5 p.m. So we'll have Westwood One's presentation of National Football, the National Football League with Dallas and Philly, 5 p.m. tonight. I'm looking at some live images of Philadelphia where they're getting set to get ready for this game tonight. Should be a good one. Like I said, good. All right. This is the Daily Spread brought to you by Chukchansey Gold Resort and Casino. And a reminder that Chukchansey Gold Resort and Casino's got the Topgolf Swing Suite where you can have luxury meet a Topgolf Swing Suite opportunity. Be sure to reserve your bay now at ChukchanseyGold.com. A good way to hang out and watch some sports and play some golf indoors. Air conditioning. We love it. Daily Spread today, we're looking at the game tonight, the Cowboys and the Eagles, and I haven't even checked what the spread is tonight in terms of that. And, Jorge, you got a guess? I just looked at it. What do you got a guess for in terms of the spread tonight between the Cowboys and the Eagles?
It's got to be single digits in the, I want to say a touchdown or less.
You had a touchdown or more if you were going to get it. It's 8.5 tonight. 8.5 Philly, 8.5-point favorites. I think it's a 12-point win. I think that's where I'm at tonight.
Really?
For Philly. I think it's a double-digit win tonight. I think it's a polar.
First game of the season?
Yeah, I think they're in form. I think they have a decent ability to do what they need to do. The Cowboys, like you said, are just a little bit of a lost team right now. Or a lot of a lot lost in terms of it. So
they lost their biggest weapon in the defense. So
yeah,
we'll see.
I don't know quite what they're going to do without him. They need to stop the run. They can't stop the run. Their defense was horrible last year after their defense was amazing 2 years ago. So we're going to see how this looks in terms of the Cowboys this year. And that's going to be 8.5 tonight. I like the Eagles tonight. I'm going to pick the Eagles tonight. The Eagles for me are a team that's going to be formidable, like I said, in the wins total pick 'em as well. So I have the Eagles as a favorite. I'm picking the Eagles at 8.5. I like the points tonight. I'm going to say Eagles by 12, like I said, in a 33-21 victory tonight in Philadelphia. Jorge, where are you going tonight?
Putting
you on the spot. I guess I didn't know it was so hard.
Yeah, I'll go Eagles. I'll go Eagles.
All right.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you angering some family members by picking the Eagles? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, but that's okay. They know they're going to lose. It's all right.
Where are your Cowboy fans and friends, fan friends, family, all of them? Where are they at mentally going into this season?
A lot of them just are watching other sports. I know my brother, who's a big Cowboys fan, is watching soccer right now. So, yeah, that's probably where he wants his head at right now. Until they get good.
Yeah, well, that'll be years to come, I think. Adam Schefter just tweeted, 49ers are listing Christian McCaffrey as limited in today's practice due to a calf issue. It's starting already, folks. It's starting already. Uh-oh.
It's just hot. It's because it's hot. That's why in the Bay Area.
Is that it?
Hot.
Is that what you're saying? It's because of the heat
in Santa Clara. It's hot, so you know they gotta. He's gotta chill.
Oh boy, I drafted Brian Robinson just for this reason, Jorge. I'm. oh boy, Niner fans, death taxes, and McCaffrey with a calf issue. All right, here's what we got. Rest of the week. So tomorrow we'll have Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D, 2 to 3, live. Here on this airwave on 1430. Then we'll have 3 to 5, my show, one more show, 2 hours. We go to 5 o'clock as we get set for another edition of Friday Night Lights. Me and Paul Metters on the call, Clovis West and Edison of Stockton. Tomorrow night we got a 7 p.m. pregame, 7:30 kickoff. Should be a lot of fun down at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Can't wait to get that one going tomorrow night from there. Excuse me. And then we have A's Angels over on 790, A's and Angels in Anaheim, I want to say. I think that is in Anaheim. So the A's and Angels, 6 p.m. pregame with a 6:35 first pitch. Because, obviously, we have the Friday Night Lights, Giants baseball will be foregone. The Giants, like I said, playing very good football, so I get it. Excuse me, very good baseball. Well, they were playing a little football on Tuesday when they were in that brawl. So, but playing some very good baseball tonight as well. And like I said, they're on an off day. They're going to St. Louis. They're playing that one tomorrow night, but we'll have the Friday Night Lights. We will have Giants baseball on Saturday following Palmetto's Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon for Palmetto's live from First String Sports on Saturday, so be sure to tune in for that. He'll have all the recap of all the Friday Night Lights action, high school action, great interviews, great conversation there for him there. And then on Sunday, here's your NFL slate for Sunday. In terms of the schedule, we will start in the morning side. You can wake up with 790 as you have the Raiders and the Patriots in action in the morning. That's a 9:30 a.m. pregame with a 10:05 kickoff from New England, the Raiders and the Patriots. Following them on 790, as soon as the Raiders-Patriot game ends, we will send it to SoFi Stadium for the Rams and the Texans in a battle between those two teams. Over on 1430 in the afternoon at a 12:05 pregame, it's the Niners and the Seahawks in Seattle in a battle there. And then we have Sunday Night Football. You can listen to Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills battle the Baltimore Ravens, 5 p.m. pregame at a 5:15 kickoff there between those two teams. And, of course, Monday we'll have our shows again, Major Wager Monday Night Football live from me and Ed's. Also, that's at 5 o'clock, where then you can listen to Monday Night Football between the Vikings and the Bears on 1430. So there you go. That's what we got for you. Good schedule coming up. All right, Jorge, good show.
Great show
on this Thursday.
Great show.
Football coming up next on 1430 ESPN.